would like us this evening to consider the words we have already read in the 30th chapter of the book of Exodus, those verses 11 to 16. When Moses, the servant of God, was called upon to number Israel, every Israelite was commanded to bring a certain amount of money as an offering to the Lord. The amount was a half shekel of silver. That amount of money that the children of Israel were to bring to the Lord was called the atonement money. We know that from the end of verse 16. To make an atonement for your souls. When this payment was made, then children of Israel were reckoned to belong to the Lord. They were then at one with Him. That is why it is called atonement at one, atonement money. Now we read elsewhere in Scripture that another metal was used and was also described as atonement money. Turn, please, to the book of Numbers. And there in Numbers, chapter 31, and verse 48. Numbers 31, verse 48. The officers which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands, the captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, Thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war, which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord. But every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains, and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of them, even all wrought jewels. Now in Exodus 30, it was silver that was brought to the Lord as atonement money. Now we read in Numbers 31, that it was gold that was brought to the Lord as the money of atonement. And once again, the children of Israel were redeemed to the Lord by bringing silver and gold unto the Lord. Now this, of course, is a type. We must remember that. It is a type of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby He redeemed His people from their sins. And now in the light of these two passages of Scripture, Exodus 30 and Numbers 31, we now know what Peter was talking about when, in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, the apostle there tells us that we are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Silver and gold are precious metals indeed. But something was needed that was much more precious than silver and gold. Something more precious than silver and gold was needed if your soul and my soul was to be redeemed. So the precious blood of Christ was shed. And it was the blood of Christ that made atonement for your soul and mine. So here in the book of Exodus, we have a type of the great atoning work of the Lord Jesus. And since our reading sets out for us in type this wonderful story of redemption, let us then seek to learn more about what Christ did for us in His work of atonement. I would like us, first of all, in this passage of Scripture in Exodus 30, to consider this great work of redemption, the redemption and God's precept. Redemption and God's precept. Now the Lord gave clear commandment to the children of Israel that every Israelite was to take the sum, or rather Moses was to take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, verse 12. And when Moses numbered Israel, he was at the same time, that's very important, he was at the same time to receive from each one who was 20 years and upward a ransom for his soul. Verse 12, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them. You know that the numbering of Israel and the paying of the atonement money was done together. It was done at the same time. It was done on a certain day. We notice, first of all, then the day. Whatever day the children of Israel paid the ransom, that was the day they were numbered. That was also the day that they were reckoned to be numbered amongst the people of God. It was, therefore, a day of great importance. Was this not a day of great importance for the children of Israel? A day in which they were redeemed because the ransom money, the ransom price had been paid. And whenever they paid the ransom money, they were also numbered with the people of God. Dear child of God, was there ever and has there ever been a more important day in your life or mine than that day in which we were redeemed? Why, that was the most important day of our lives. Oh, we can look back and we can pencil in and write about certain days that were very important. But I tell you, there was none more important than the day we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the day we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb was the day we were numbered with the people of God. The moment that we were redeemed was the moment we were made the children of God. For on that day, the words were spoken that are recorded in Job 33 and verse 22. Deliver him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And who paid the ransom? Jesus paid the ransom. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe when sin had left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow. And it all happened on a given day. It all happened at a given hour. It all happened at a given moment. When we were brought out of nature's darkness into the light. When in that moment our dead souls were made to live, regenerated by the Spirit of God. And it all happened in a moment. It all happened in that hour. It all happened in that day. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling. With joy I am telling. He made all the darkness depart. For on that glorious day in which we were redeemed, heaven came down. And glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away. My night was turned to day. Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. It was a day of great importance. If that day had not have happened, if that event had not taken place, if we had not been redeemed on that day, then we would not this evening be numbered with the redeemed of the Lord. That's how important that day is. If we had not been redeemed on that day, we would still be in our sin. We would still be on our road to hell. Yea, we might even be in hell. That's how important that day is. The day in which we were redeemed. Oh, redeemed! How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child. Now we're numbered. His child and forever. I am. Not only was it a day of great importance, it was a day of gracious inclusion. Our reading informs us that when the Israelite paid his ransom money, his half shekel of silver, he was then included in the number of God's people. You look carefully at these words. You will discover that the word number, that's what we're talking about. When the ransom money was paid, the children of Israel were numbered with God's people. You'll find that the word number is mentioned 5 times. There in verse 12, it's mentioned 3 times. Verse 13 once, and verse 14 once. Number, of course, is the number of grace. It was through grace, grace alone, that we were numbered with the people of God. This teaches us that it is only through grace It is only the redeemed, those who have been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Only those who are redeemed by the blood are numbered with the people of God. Oh, believer, let us thank God afresh tonight that through His grace we are included with the redeemed. We're numbered amongst the redeemed. Didn't we read that word this morning? Revelation 5 and verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou wert worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Here's the number. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We know that elsewhere in John, in Revelation, when John saw the great multitude of redeemed people, he said that it was a host that could not be numbered. But just as God knows the number of the stars, knows everyone by name, so He knows the exact number that have been redeemed. And will be redeemed. And He knows everyone by name, just as the shepherd knows every one of the sheep by name. Oh, what a day of great importance that was, the day in which we were redeemed. What a day of great and gracious inclusion that was when we were included. The redeemed of the Lord. Why? Because the redemption, the price of redemption was paid. Not paid in silver, not paid in gold. But paid by the blood. The blood of the Lamb. Not only do we have the day, but we have the demand. The Lord told Moses that if the children of Israel were to be included in the number of God's own, then they had to pay the atonement money. Regarding the giving of the atonement money, we see first of all the Lord's insistence. You will notice in these words that we have read this evening, no less than three times the Lord told Moses, make sure that every man gives or brings to you the atonement money, brings to you the ransom money. Every man. Three times over. The Lord was insisting that every man bring the atonement money. If they were to be redeemed, if they were to be included in the number of God's people, then God insisted that they bring the half shekel. Dear listener, tonight nothing has changed. God is still insisting that man must be born again if he's to be included with the redeemed of the Lord. God is still insisting that man must repent if he is to be converted. God is still insisting that if a soul is to be saved, that soul must be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing has changed. God is still insisting. For souls today, for sinners today, this is not something that man can ignore and neglect and say, oh, I'll find some other way. Oh, but there is no other way. God insists in His Word there is one way. The children of Israel could not be included in that number of God's people by getting in some other way. God insisted, you must bring a half shekel. That's it. It's simple enough, it's plain enough. Not man in Israel would misunderstand or not be able to understand what God was demanding. God makes the same demands today. You must be born again. Not only do you have the Lord and His insistence that the half shekel be brought, but you have the Lord and the individual. You will notice that if the children of Israel were to be numbered with the Lord's people, then they must pay the ransom money, each one individually. Now what the Lord says there in verse 12, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man, every individual. In other words, the Lord didn't tell Moses to bring one lump sum of money. The Lord didn't say, bring one lump sum of money and that'll do, that'll cover all the host of Israel. No. Every man had to bring his own ransom money. Every man, as an individual, had to bring the atonement money to Moses before they could be included with the people of God. This teaches us a number of things. It teaches us salvation. It teaches us that redemption is a personal thing. It's between the individual and God. It teaches us that we cannot get to heaven or be included amongst the people of God on the coattails of someone else. No, we must come as individuals. We must come personally to the Lord if we are to be included with those that are redeemed and those that are in heaven. Neither is everyone universally counted in. It's quite simple. If any of the Israelites did not pay the ransom money, then they would not be included with the people of God. So it wasn't a kind of a universal salvation. Some people believe that today. Some ministers preach that today. They say, oh, God loves everybody. God will not keep anyone out of heaven. You can have the biggest drunkard in town, the most immoral wretch in town, and he comes to die, and you stand at his graveside. Listen to the minister preach about him, and you would think he was the greatest saint who ever lived. Because those ministers believe in universal salvation, salvation for everyone. Not so. Bible doesn't teach that. No, the Bible teaches, and here it is, the But if a man was to be included with the people of God, he must bring his ransom money. Today, we are to be included with God's people. Then we must be redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's no other way. Now we see that the Lord told Moses that the atonement money was to be a half shekel. After the shekel of the sanctuary, verse 13. So the Lord's very specific, very clear in His directions. Now here we have the Lord and His instruction. The Lord instructed Israel what they were to bring as ransom money. He said, a half shekel of the sanctuary. He didn't say a full shekel. He didn't say half a dozen shekels. He said a half shekel. In other words, nothing else would do. Some Israelite may have decided to bring something else. He would have been rejected if he brought something else. Cain thought he would bring something else to the Lord other than a blood offering. Even though Cain knew full well what to bring to the Lord as an offering for sin and as a sacrifice for sin, but no, he brought to the Lord the labor of his hand. Fruit of his hands. And he was rejected. It was Abel who brought the blood offering, brought the blood sacrifice, and he was accepted because he knew that nothing else would do. So it is with salvation through the blood. There's no other way. Nothing else will do. The cross work, where the atoning work was done. And that's how men and women get to heaven. It's by the way of the cross. It's the way of the cross that leads home. It's the way of the cross that leads into the kingdom of heaven. The way of the cross. What was done there and the blood that was shed. Brings us into the family and the fold of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just as the Lord told Moses to tell Israel it had to be a half shekel and nothing else, so the Lord has told us it must be the blood, nothing else. Nothing else will do. That then leads us to consider the deliverance. Today, and the demand, and the deliverance. Because you see, the ransom money brought about Israel's deliverance. Look again at verse 12. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. The Lord told Moses, now when you number Israel, make sure you receive from every man a half shekel. Because if you neglect to collect the half shekel, the ransom money, the atonement money, from every man, then I will send a plague. I will send a plague amongst you. I will send my judgment upon you. it was the atonement money that held back the wrath and the judgment of God. I'd like you to turn to 1 Chronicles. For in 1 Chronicles 21, we read there about David and the day that he numbered Israel and did not collect the atonement money. And we see what took place. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go and number Israel from Beersheba to Dan. And try to dissuade them from numbering Israel. For we read in verse 3, and Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Verse 4, nevertheless the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. There's the plague. David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Why did David numbered Israel in the first place? We're told Satan stood up against Israel. That's only half the story. Why did David number Israel? Because of the pride in his heart. Was not the point that Job was making? Didn't Joab say to David, all these men are thine. God has given you an increase. And they're all thine. David, why do you need to number them? They all belong to thee anyway. The pride in his heart. Do you know, believer, that still goes on today? Men are more interested in counting heads and hands than they are interested in whether or not those whom they count are amongst the redeemed. As long as we can give a number, as long as we can play the numbers game, as long as we can say to our friends, we had so many saved last week, so many professed faith, we had so many commitments last week. Don't really care whether they're numbered with the redeemed. That's what matters. So when the Lord told Moses to number Israel, he told Moses that every man must bring his ransom money. The man that does not bring his ransom money, bring his atonement money. The plague will be sent amongst them. Oh, dear believer, how wonderfully this portrays for us the atoning work of the Lord Jesus. Christ paid the ransom. Through his atoning work and his atoning death and his atoning blood. Thank God, the Lord has stayed his wrath. The Lord has stayed the plague. We shall never perish in a lost eternity, we shall never come under the wrath of God. Because the price has been paid, and atonement has been made. A ransom has been found. And God will not send the plague amongst us. As it was in Egypt, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. The plague did not come into the houses of the Israelites. Why? Cause of the blood. And the plague of sin and the consequences of sin and the judgment that will be poured out upon sin will pass over us because a ransom has been paid. Christ has made atonement for our souls. What a wonderful story this is. Here it is in Exodus. Not only do we have the redemption and God's precept, but we have redemption and God's price. Moses was not the one who decided what man was to bring to the Lord as atonement money. It was the Lord that decided. The Lord was the one who set the price of redemption. Look there at verse 13. This they shall give, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. So here we then have, first of all, the stipulated price. As we've already pointed out, Israel must bring this price as stipulated by the Lord. Nothing else would do. Didn't matter what else they brought, they wouldn't be accepted. Whatever else they brought, they would be turned away and God would refuse what they brought and refuse them. God stipulated half a shekel. He repeated it again and again. Half a shekel. The price was stipulated by the Lord. The only way that they could meet the Lord's demands was to bring what He had stipulated. The Lord has already stipulated what price must be paid for our redemption, for our salvation. God demanded. Listen to the demands of God regarding the redemption of your soul and mine. God declares, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's what God demands. That's what God declares. He demands the shedding of blood. Now we know that all the blood that was shed on Jewish altars could never give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. Needed something better, greater, richer, more precious than the blood of Old Testament bullocks and lambs. It is something more precious than silver, than gold. They're corruptible things, as Peter has reminded us. No! God demanded the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Christ. And only the shedding of Christ's blood could meet the demands of God and the demands of the law. Only the blood of Christ could lift us from the mire. Only the blood of Christ could cleanse us from all sin and make us whole in the eyes of God. Only the blood of Christ could bring us into the family and fold of God. Only the blood of Christ had the power to redeem our souls, to meet the demands of the law of God. What God stipulated was the price that God demanded must be paid. Praise God. Bless the Savior's name. He paid the price. And He paid it in full. That's why today we can sing, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not only was it the stipulated price, it was also the specified price. The Lord, when speaking to Moses, specified the half shekel. They were to bring for a ransom. It was to be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Verse 13. See, the Lord misses nothing out. Doesn't miss a thing. It was to be the according to the shekel of the sanctuary. They were not to use the shekel of commerce, which might be debased in quality or diminished by wear and tear. The Lord told Moses exactly what the shekel should weigh. That would be the shekel of the sanctuary. If Israel were to bring the shekel of commerce, well, through regular use in commerce, there would be the wear and the tear of that shekel, and it wouldn't weigh the proper weight. It would have been worn, and with no probability weigh less than the shekel of the sanctuary. So the Lord is very particular here and specific here. And He says the shekel they were to bring was to be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Moses must make sure the half shekel was up to its true weight, up to the true standard. If not, the person who brought it would be rejected. Dear child of God, that is exactly what took place when Christ paid the price of atonement for His atoning work was weighed in the balances of heaven. And when it was weighed in the balances, it was found to be of a true weight. And God accepted that work of atonement. And because God accepted Christ's work of atonement, all who have appropriated by faith that work of Christ to themselves, we then are accepted as well. Because of Christ's atoning work and because it was accepted, then we are accepted. Anything less than the full work of atonement by Christ on the cross of Calvary, anything less, we would have perished in our sins. Jesus Christ, as we've already said, paid it all. Right down to the very last drop. Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our sins away. Sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Blood of the Old Testament sacrifices didn't weigh too well in the balances of heaven. They fell short of what God required. For the blood that was shed in Jewish altars could never take away sin. But the blood of Christ, His atoning death and atoning work, paid the price in full. Came up to the standard, and God accepted it. And all who have received Christ as Savior on the merits of His shed blood, on the ground of His finished work, are accepted also as the people of God. Notice also that it was the standard price. Price of atonement. The amount of atonement money demanded by the Lord was the same for everyone. Look at verse 15. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your soul. So it was the same for everyone. Oh yes, the rich man may have felt he could have given more. But no, the Lord demanded half a shekel of the rich man and half a shekel of the poorest man. It was well within the reach of the poor man. And that's what the rich man had to give. It was the same for everyone, rich or poor. This teaches us that the way of redemption, the way of salvation, is the same for every man, rich or poor. Bond or free, Jew or Gentile, famous or infamous, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Same for them all. Just the one way. The rich man and the poor man. The upright man and the down and out. There's only one way. One price. One offering. One sacrifice. One atonement. The work that Christ did at Calvary. And it's the blood that He shed at Calvary. It's the way of salvation for the rich man and the poor man. All stand on common ground when it comes to salvation. Salvation by the blood of the Lamb. That leads us then finally and quickly to consider redemption and God's purpose. Verse 16, Thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord. Make an atonement for your souls. So the children of Israel, every man who was to be included in the family of God and to be accepted with the Lord, had to bring their half shekel of silver. When they brought it, they were redeemed. And now we're told what the Lord would do with that half shekel of silver brought by all the children of Israel. It would be used in the service of the tabernacle. And we are in the midst of the Lord giving instruction to Moses on the materials and the design of the tabernacle. So what specifically was the silver used for? We need to go to Exodus 38. Turn to Exodus chapter 38. And verse 25. Here we have the purpose of the silver. And the silver, verse 25 of Exodus 38, and the silver of them that were numbered of the children of the congregation was 100 talents, 1,703.15 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, a becca for every man that is half a shekel. After the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, 4,600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary. And the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. In other words, whenever the boards were made, and the boards that would hold the veil for the tabernacle, they would be placed in these sockets of silver. The silver that had been collected by Moses. In other words, the atonement money was to serve as the foundation for the tabernacle. Now, what was the tabernacle used for? The tabernacle was used as a place of worship. In the wilderness, and the children of Israel see the cloudy pillar by day and the fiery pillar by night as it hovered over the holiest of all. When the great high priest, where the high priest went into the holiest of all through the veil once a year, he went there, sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, he went there to meet with God. And whenever the mercy seat was, and the dimensions were given to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, I will meet with you there. So the tabernacle was the meeting place. It was a place of worship, where Israel met with God and Israel worshiped God. How does that tie in with the price of redemption? How does that tie in with the atonement money? It's very simple. There is only one ground upon which we can stand to worship God. That is upon the ground of the atonement. Upon the ground of the redeeming work. There's no other ground. There is no other ground whereby we can come before God and meet with God and have our service of worship acceptable in God's sight except the ground of redemption, the ground of the shed blood. Then there's something else. What did we read there in that verse 16 in Exodus 30? We're told that the money, or the shekels of silver, the atonement money, would be used in the service of the congregation, that it may be a memorial. A memorial. So as the children of Israel looked upon the tabernacle in the wilderness, saw the silver sockets, were placed there as a foundation for the tabernacle, that silver would serve as a memorial as they journeyed through the wilderness, served to remind them that they were a redeemed people. It was God's plan. That's why He used the silver and the sockets as a foundation for the tabernacle. Dear believer, every time we worship God, every time we come into this tabernacle, should remind ourselves through our preaching and our prayers and our praying that we have been redeemed. Let's never forget that. Let's never forget that we are redeemed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let us bow and pray. Most gracious Father and eternal God, we praise Thee for the great work of redemption, foreshadowed, typified for us there in the book of Exodus. O gracious Father, we pray that indeed we might be a people who will never forget the price that was paid for our redemption. How Christ paid the ransom with the shedding of His own blood. Lord, how glad we are tonight that we can sing redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's the song of the soul set free. It's the song of the glorified saints. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. May we go, Lord, from this house tonight singing the redemption song, rejoicing as those who have been redeemed forever. Lord, write the word in our hearts. Take us this evening to our homes in safety and abide with us there. Bless us, Lord, this week. Meet with us on Wednesday evening. Come to hear about the work of God that's going on amongst Thine own ancient people. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.